This morning's responsive read came from Psalm 3. So if you have a desire, please get your Bible and open it to Psalm 3 and join along in the few words that we are about to offer. I just mentioned prior to us reading this responsively that in my edition, large print edition of the King James Bible that stands on this pulpit, no footnotes, not even a reference margin running down the middle of the page. It has subtitles sometimes under, like for instance here, Psalm 3. And the subtitle reads, A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So if that be true, then we have some type of a historical backdrop or a context. And I believe the verbiage here lends itself to this moment in David's life. Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Now, there are times that some of the Old Testament figures that we love and we've grown up to appreciate, we've learned about them in a Sunday school class or maybe in a sermon series, we've kind of gotten accustomed to some of these greats, like a David, or like a Solomon, or like an Abraham, or a Sarah, or a Ruth, or Rahab, or any particular person, even in the New Testament. And there are times when, especially the Old Testament people, like a Joseph, or in this case, like a David, sometimes we'll use the expression, the lesser David and the greater David, meaning that the greater David is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. You read the story of Joseph, how he was a savior and a deliverer of many during the 7 years of famine. And in that case, Joseph pictures the greater Joseph, that is the Lord Jesus, who when he comes, or when he came, he would be greater than Joseph and not simply saving some nations that surrounded Egypt during a famine, but that he would save many from all corners of the globe in that sense. Well, here we have the lesser David who was actually going through a real, honest-to-God trial. He had one of his sons rise up and commit treason against him. And these words, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And when you come to the four gospel narratives, you see in the life of the greater David, that is the Lord Jesus, similar words could have dropped from the lips of Jesus. As he begins his public ministry, when you begin to read the gospels and you read about that first year, Jesus was quite popular amongst the masses. And yes, maybe at the beginning, he was a curiosity to the religious leaders. And every so often, they would send a delegation like they did to John the Baptist and asking him questions. Who are you? By what authority do you do these things? And then eventually, as Jesus got into his second and third year of his public ministry, and then as it drew close to the last 6 months of his life, the religious establishment went from being curious to plotting his death. And so Jesus could say, as he's carrying his cross beam to Calvary, Jesus could also quote and verbalize verse 1 of Psalm 3. Father, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And then even when he was on the cross, we see the lesser David saying in verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, David speaking here of himself, there is no help for him in God. What was thrown at Jesus' face when he hung on the tree? If you be the Messiah, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Did he not save others? Him, he cannot save himself. And then when he called upon my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They thought he was calling upon Elijah, supposedly to come to his defense. Jesus could also say, as he hung on the tree, than in the minds of the religious leaders who had turned him over to the Roman officials to have him die a criminal's death for high treason, claiming that, you know, he's a king and therefore a would-be threat to Caesar. Many would say as they looked upon him, see, there's no help from God, even for this one. But then David the lesser and David the greater could say, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Well, did God the Father hear God the Son? Yes, he did. Because 72 hours later, that's exactly 3 days and three nights, if you're going to be a literalist. That's what it means. Three full days and three full nights. God the Father raised his Son back to life. So the Father did hear the greater David, just like God the Father also heard and delivered the lesser David from many a trial and many a pickle. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people which have set themselves against me round about. Now, I believe verses 6 is something that the child of God, whether Old or New Testament, could claim for himself or herself. I remember writing my thesis on the book of Daniel. This would have been at least 45 years now plus ago in my past, that we were using a book by Dr. Strauss, Lehman Strauss, his little commentary on the book of Daniel. And I can still remember one of the concepts that we learned in that particular book going through it. And it kind of boils down to these words. When a Christian is in the very center of God's will, like Daniel was in his life, as you read the book of Daniel, when you are in the center of God's will, the center of his palm, you are invincible until God calls you home. No one or nothing can touch you unless it be by divine permission. And as long as you are doing God's will, his will, not your will, his will, you are invincible. And look at Daniel's life. He lived and served during two great Gentile empires. On many occasions, he was called into the courtroom to solve a problem because the magicians and the soothsayers could not when the king requested. And I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Think of Daniel in the lion's den, the plot to get rid of him. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. See, when you're in the center of God's will, you are impregnable. You cannot be touched by the world. They can try, but they're not going to get too far. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. You got to admit that verse 7 doesn't go too well in a seeker-friendly church trying to fly their rainbow flag on the front of the church lawn to be appealing to the world. You don't hear that type of preaching today, do you? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Yeah, the church does not save anyone. The waters of baptism do not save. Rituals and ceremonies and holidays and pilgrimages, praying on beads and lighting candles and praying to dead saints. No, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon, notice, thy people. Not on a building. Not on an organization, not on denominational headquarters. It says, thy blessing is upon whom? Not walls and stained glass windows and padded pews. Thy blessing is upon the flock, the sheep of God's pasture. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.